Welcome everyone to the At Large Technology Task Force meeting on Friday, 8th November 2013 at 16 UTC. On the call today we have Olivier Crépin-Leblond, Dev Anansi-Larsing, Juan Manuel Rojas, and from staff we have myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you, and over to you, Dev.
Thank you, Julia. This is Dave and I'm speaking. I think somebody joined the call as you were doing the roll call. Can someone identify themselves? If so. If not, we'll just assume that I was imagining it. Okay. Well, let's just move ahead to move ahead to the agenda review of the action items. CTF to contact persons in at-large community that are well-versed in accessibility issues. I've put up a short list of persons, and I'll be looking to do this so after the Buenos Aires meeting to really kick this off in terms of looking at accessibility issues of the various technology tools used by ICANN and at-large. So that item is going to be in. Done by after Buenos Aires. At-large staff to find out if someone within ICANN is looking at accessibility of at-large tools. This was the idea being was that we can then work with this person and with the team on accessibility issues. Julia, do you have any answer on this action item? Or?
The action items from the previous call?
Yeah, this is the action item for at-large staff is to find out if someone within ICANN is looking at the accessibility of ICANN with technology.
I think Natalie was taking care of this. She hasn't followed with me for this action item. I'm going
to. All right, we'll have to leave that as is. And again, that can happen after Buenos Aires. Staff to set up call on the 21st of October to look at incident conferencing. This was done and the meeting was held. So that action item can be crossed off. Dave and Juan to test Google Translate and Microsoft translation tools. That's in the agenda, and hopefully Juan also has some feedback on regarding these tools. And Dev to find instructions to Google Calendar on Android. Now, I've done this. I've posted it to the TTF list, and I've updated the calendar at large page. And again, it's in the agenda, so you can review it. I'm thinking this action item is complete, but I'll wait on feedback. Ongoing action items. Dave to email staff regarding the separate version of Confluence. This hasn't been done. The reason why was because given that IT staff was updating the Confluence system and it was only now updated within the month, and given the proximity to Buenos Aires, we would not have enough time to do any real testing. I haven't really done this action item as such. So this is, again, something that's going to have to wait until after Buenos Aires. Action item, CTF members to look at content for ideas and for improving the organization of at-large content. This is on the agenda. I don't think there's been not enough work done on this, but we'll get to that when we reach that agenda item. Action item, TTF and staff to create a central repository of video pictures captured by at-large. This has been done, and I'm thinking we can now cross this off. It's on the agenda as a formal item, but so we can probably cross this item off. TTF to review the tools used by at-large regarding accessibility. Well, that's an ongoing issue. Glenn is now taking the pen or being the one in charge of this issue. And there are three action items regarding regarding the structuring of information on the workspace pages. This is what's assigned to Lance, but Lance is not on the call. I've updated the one pager regarding Adobe Connect, and that's on the agenda for today. So in fact, we could probably cross off the agenda regarding Lance to update one pager with material. That can be crossed off. Okay, and then finally, close this off. Send to the Velo is the list of web conferencing features and ask for feedback. This hasn't been done. I think we probably can report on this during the Buenos Aires meeting itself and show the table as is and ask for feedback there. So this will be done at the Buenos Aires meeting during the reporting on the Tuesday. Whew, right. Okay, any questions or comments on those action items? Okay, let's move ahead to the next agenda item then. The comparison of web conferencing solutions, if you look on that page, I have gone through and filled out the table completely as we have done the various conferencing solutions. The last one being the Infinite Conferencing solution. If you look at the table, and you can then click on to Infinite Conferencing. Let me just post it in the chat. You can see a summary of of the key points regarding that conferencing solution. I'm thinking this can be presented to the as part of the reporting for Buenos Aires. I think we've captured the key desired features for full use, and we've documented in a conciser manner the various, how each of those features that we tested matched up across. Are there any thoughts or comments regarding the reporting on this in this table? Mm-hmm. Going twice. Okay. So again, for those who have been on these conferencing trials, again, do review the table and see. And this table would be presented during the Buenos Aires meeting reporting on Tuesday. Right, we're going to power through all of the meetings here. As I said before, I've done a summary reporting of the Infinite Conferencing. I think I've captured all of the key points. One of the interesting things was that you could have presented both PDFs, Office, and open document format documents where files are uploaded to the room and presented after. However, there's quite a few shortcomings in the solution. One, the presenter can see the list of participants. However, the participants themselves don't see the list of participants. So it's a kind of an unusual solution in the sense that it seems to be geared to having a dialogue between the presenter and the participants, and not in between participants. I should say there is the workaround that allows the participants to interact by the built-in chat, where you could see a drop-down. To send a message to a particular participant, but it's not very intuitive. And there's only one person can be a presenter at any given time. So if you make somebody else the presenter, the previous presenter is knocked off. So that's also a possible challenge there. Recordings can be done, but it's like $2 a minute. And it doesn't capture the actual displaying of documents, or the polling, or the chat, which means it's really just mostly the voice That's if you're using that conference telephone bridge for the most part. And staff also noted that, you know, the invites can only be sent by an Outlook plugin that will be installed on their end. And apart from the challenges of, well, doing such a thing and the possible, well, I won't say security risk, but raising possible incompatibilities based on the version of Outlook installed on these machines, it also that's one aspect that makes it difficult. The other difficulty is that, there's no way easy way of sending email consistent email invites. The ID of the conference room changes every time you start a meeting, and it's the easiest way would have been to actually for the host to start the meeting and then send an email invites to add people to it afterwards and not schedule it before. It was too difficult to do so. So that's the reporting on the infinite conferencing solution. Let's see. Okay, so I'm not seeing any questions, so I'm just going to go right ahead. Next steps. Well, and I guess I really would like to have some feedback on this. We've reviewed quite a few conferencing solutions over the past, since between Durban and now. I would say we've reviewed probably about 6 solutions. And we've tried them out. And we've reported on all of these. Do you think there's a really need to continue evaluating web conferencing solutions? There are probably a few more out there, but I just wanted to get some ideas or feedback as to, well, is there really something any significantly better than, say, the Adobe Connect or the Lucid? I have an opinion on this, but I guess I want to hear some feedback. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, David. It's Olivier speaking. Now, I have not been on all of the conference calls of the Technology Task Force. In fact, far from it, I've missed quite a few. I wondered whether, so far, I guess you've tested those systems, and what would be helpful would be to have a table basically giving the marks that you would give on, you know, if you give a 0 for the Adobe Connect system, then what would you be giving for the other ones? If they're better, then you give a positive mark. If they're not as good, then you give a negative mark. I guess the idea really is to think, is there a better system that could be used than what we have at the moment? And I know that one of the big contenders for the for having this integrated desktop and also IP, voice over IP, is the Cisco WebEx system. That's the only one I'm aware of that comes quite close to what we have on the Adobe Connect. But you will have noticed also that recently a number of our colleagues that are using non-standard PC or Apple desktop computers, they're actually using their tablets and or Android devices and so on, have had increased problems with Adobe. I think it's still important to try and see if we can get something out of the process here of looking at the different types of systems. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. Juan has also raised his hand. Juan, go ahead. Juan, you may be muted. Star 7 to unmute.
Hi, Dave, and everyone. I am writing in chat because I am voiceless, and I don't...
This is Dave. We could, you know... All right, certainly if you want to type it into the chat here. I think the question is from Juan is, if you have to give advice, well, what do we recommend? Okay, well, if you go back to the comparison of a web conferencing solution, show that back in. And I see also from Juan that he has his phone advice. So let me just post back the link of the comparison of web conferencing solutions. I have to say that from a personal standpoint, we have not tried the Cisco WebEx solution as yet. So that's probably one of those things we need to try then, after the Buenos Aires meeting. I know there are probably two other conferencing solutions. One is Uber Conferencing, and one is Speak, S-P-E-E-K, which claims to really simplify conferencing, and it's free up to 5 users and so forth, which might be of interest to at large structures who are doing their internal meetings. I have to say though, going through BlueJeans, ReadyTalk, Meeting Burner, Infinite Conferencing, in my mind, none of these are quite good replacements yet for Adobe Connect. I would say probably the only one that really is close to replacing Adobe Connect is probably the Lucid Meetings one itself. And that's because there's typically a feature that simply does not allow for. I'm trying to think of a way to best summarize it. I suppose the best way to summarize it is that most of these conferencing solutions, the emphasis is on the dialogue between the presenter and the participants, and it's not really geared towards with the participants interacting as a working group. You know, so it's a good for the presenter to present information to participants from one to many, but there's no real way of having that many to, you know, see the list of participants to see a speaker's queue, that type of thing. That's probably my broad summary of what I find lacking with those other conferencing solutions that look like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dave, it's Olivier speaking. I'm faced with and I'm not that knowledgeable about Lucid, but I'm faced with a dilemma in Lucid when I'm still marked as the current person speaking, and for the same time, you know, things, anyway, I'm still marked on there, so you haven't basically emptied the queue, so I couldn't put my hand up because my hand is already on there. That's a little thought. Looking at the comparison of web conferencing solutions that you've got here, and seeing, you know, the sort of evaluation that was done on each one of them, I don't see in there an actual evaluation whether it was liked or not. What I mean by that is, unfortunately, I mean, at the moment, it shows all of the technical details, which are great. I mean, we see all the features, what it does and things, supports a variety of mobile tablets and apps, etc. But was it nice to use? Was it, you know, was it something that was flexible enough to be able to use it? And I'm not sure whether you remember who was on what call to actually ask them at the end what was their preference.
Okay.
If you and I'm going to unmute because someone else is calling me, so I'll go on.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Olivier. And I take that point. It's probably not shown in the table itself. And I mean, the meeting notes for each of the conferencing solutions, probably what needs to be done is to really have those members give an opinion or ranking regarding, okay, well, I thought this was good or it was not good compared to Adobe Connect because the lack of Or this conferencing solution is good because it has this feature that is missing from Adobe Connect and Lucid. So maybe that's one of the action items to really do to look at. And that would be for the TTF members to update the various pages of all the conferencing solutions that we've updated, that we've done, and to give opinions as to whether, you know, whether it worked or not, rather than just the very technical details which is presented in the table. Have I gotten your concern correctly, Olivia?
Yes. Thank you very much, Dave. It's Olivia speaking. Yeah, it does take a time for me to unmute, unfortunately.
No problem.
I think that's fine. Maybe even something more subjective in that if you were to choose our conferencing system of the future, which one would you prefer?
I see. Okay.
And it's all fine to say Adobe Connect if that's the case, or Lucid Meetings if that's the case, but which one would you connect? Okay. I'm going to go back on mute.
Okay. All right. I get you. All right. So, well, this is Dave speaking again. I would say, well, from my perspective, after evaluating on all of these trials and so on, I would say Lucid Meetings. And the reason why I would say Lucid Meetings is that, one, two reasons. One, less resource-intensive than, say, Adobe Connect. You know, I can tell when I'm running Adobe Connect because my machine runs slower. And I notice it very, very particularly on my laptop when I'm in an AC room. And especially when I try to open two AC rooms at the same time. Lucid Meetings, because it's running within the browser tab, it's not as using so much resources on the laptop. So that's one good thing. And to me, the second thing is that the Lucid Meetings allows for a management of an agenda and to step through it and so forth more intuitively than Adobe Connect. But that's just my opinion on it. Okay. I think we've now spent a little bit more time than I thought we would, but at least we've covered this entire three-point topic tree regarding the conferencing solutions. So one of the action items, update the conferencing notes to include opinions as to whether more direct opinions about the solution, as to whether it worked or not. Okay. All right. The one page about Adobe Connect. I kind of took back some to work on this action item, and if you click on the page, you should see that I did a sort of animation to explain how for people to join the audio conference. So if you go to the page, it should load up. It's an animated GIF. So I've tried to, you know, put in the various icons as to see, well, this is what it looks like when it's live, when it's muted, this is what the icon looks like. So I'm kind of happy with how the animation works and that how it shows it in as, you know, concise a time as possible. Any thoughts or opinions on this? Let's go back to the page. Mm-hmm. I should mention that one of the ideas was to see whether this could be put on one page and then presented as part of as a default page in the Adobe Connect, so that when persons are in the Adobe Connect room, this information would have been put on that main pod, so that persons would always see this information, and therefore, well, especially for new persons, they'll know how to, join the audio bridge, which is always a persistent question that keeps coming up on a lot of the Adobe Connect rooms. That comes up a lot of times as to how to connect to the audio of the Adobe Connect, and because I want to see something and so forth. So again, any thoughts regarding the content of this, of the page, the one pager about Adobe Connect? Going once, going twice, going twice. Okay. Not hearing anyone raising a hand, so saying anything. I think we can then move on. I'll post this out for comment on the list. And again, I'll report. This will be part of the reporting done for the technology task force on Tuesday, as hopefully a complete item, so that it can be used by the site staff for future Adobe Connect sessions with at large. Okay. Oh, sorry, Olivier. I'm now seeing your hand raised. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Dave. It's Olivier speaking. I was just going to say I think it's this one pager about Adobe Connect is actually very straightforward and it looks very helpful. The only thing I could say is I think it shows that you need to click on the phone, and it is in it to the right of the phone that you need to click on the actual arrow down.
Mm-hmm. Actually, no, it works either way. As you saw, I clicked on the phone. Now, I guess probably what this is Dave speaking. It's possible that it could have been a double click on the telephone icon. So maybe that was the other thing. But yes, there is a drop down as when you go to the telephone icon, and part of that drop down says, well, join audio conference. But as the animation shows, you could just double click on it, and that dialog box would come up. I could say I'll double check when we go to the next Adobe Connect room at the top of the hour, and
Excellent. And
update that information. Maybe it is double click. You're quite right for catching that. Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Great. So let's see. Okay. Let's move ahead to the next agenda item. Ideas for improving the organization of at-large content. Well, I noted there hasn't really been that much updates, and I have to say some of the updates that were put on the page, I have to say, probably missed the intent of what this page was about. First, we identified the various tools that you will use to create and organize content by at-large working groups. The wiki, calendar tools are used, an event time announcer, the various email lists, the telephone bridge, obviously, and the teleconferencing teleconferences using Adobe Connect and so forth. But then the idea behind noting the issues and the recommendations was to try to specifically identify particular issues and then come up with a specific recommendation to, well, alleviate that issue. I know some of the issues that have been put on the page, I believe mostly from Glenn. Well, they are useful and they are correct. I would say those are issues, but they're not really specific enough to really to make it actionable in a sense. It's possible that this is more information that is related for more for the metrics working group, actually. So I have to say this issue is still largely incomplete. Over the weekend, I'm going to try to put some more meat on this topic. Because as I'm working through the various things for the new GTLD metrics working group, the at-large metrics working group, I'm trying to come up with ways of how to consolidate metrics within working groups and within the ALAC. This is giving me more ideas as to try to figure out how to structure the information in working groups. So this part, this section is probably not as complete as I would like it to be. I'll be posting to the list over the weekend and trying to come up with more detailed, specific recommendations on this item. And of course, working group, all members, should really try to identify the issues, because it's easy to see that we want things to be improved. I think there's a consensus that, yes, the existing wikis, the way the wiki is potentially structured or how it looks, we want it to be improved, but we need to really specify what's the issue we're trying to solve. And, you know, then we could say, okay, if that's the issue, what are the possible solutions we could approach and try to implement the best one? And I admit that's a little bit more tricky, but it's the only way really to move forward on trying to improve how content is organized by at large. Any comments or thoughts on this? I see one had dropped off the call, but the staff is now back onto the call. Good. Mm-hmm. Once, twice. Okay. I think nobody raising their hands here, so I think I will move ahead to the next agenda item. Okay. Now, these next few points, I just kept them in because this will be part of the reporting, but we've already documented, shown this page regarding how at-large can use the calendar. A question came up on the last call as to how Android devices could use the at-large calendar, and I've already updated the page to talk about how, well, linking to Google's website, which talks about how to use the various Android platform OSs, 2.3, version 3, and now version 4, and how to use the calendaring application on these Android devices to work with Google Calendar, because it seems to be that the only way to really get Android devices to work with calendars is you really need to link it with your Google Calendar. So it's a two-step process. You subscribe first to the at-large calendar using Google Calendar, and then you use your phone to sync to your Google Calendars with your Android device. So I think that item is now complete, and I've updated the calendar page on it. So I don't have this, well, I haven't had time to actually use an Android device to actually do the actual testing, but I've posted it to the list, and hopefully there'll be more feedback on this issue. But I think ultimately, in the end, I think the calendar page works as intended. Again, you know, questions, feedback as to how this can be improved, you know, by all means. You know, we can raise the comments on, well, now or later on the mailing list. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. It's Olivier speaking. Do we, because we're now going to be all face-to-face in Durban, in Buenos Aires, and I was wondering whether should it be a good idea, perhaps, to show people how to link this calendar to their Google Calendar or to their internal calendar. I gather that there are more than just Google Calendars out there. There are other calendars that this can be linked to or downloaded to. The reason being that well, ever since I became chair, and that's thanks to Gisela, who sort of prompted me to do this, she basically got my life to turn around the Google Calendar. And, of course, all of the things which you see on the calendar, which is displayed on that page, are all being beamed over to my mobile phone with these mobile phone alerts that you can set up half an hour before a meeting is due to take place or 15 minutes before your meeting is due to take place, you can actually receive an SMS letting you know that a meeting is about to take place with all the details for dialing in and so on. And I wonder whether people in the at-large community and on the ALAC in particular are using this type of technology. I don't know whether you've got a further insight than I do on this.
Okay, this is Dave. Thanks, Olivier. I would say that the persons that are quite active in at-large are probably using the Google Calendar. And again, this is one of the challenges I think that most at-large find themselves is that, especially for those who are not involved in working groups and they just wanted to see what's happening, how did they get involved and where is this calendar of information? So in fact, one of the action items coming out of the Durban meeting at the time when this topic came up was that the staff emails once a week to the announce list all of the meetings happening the next week. Going back to your specific instructions. Sorry.
And we've had that. Sorry for interrupting it, Olivier.
No problem, Olivier. This is Dave speaking. So that's been done. With regards to the calendaring, I tried to include all of the different options, like how to do it on your iPad or iOS device, how to do it in your Mac OS X in iCal, and Outlook.com, Yahoo Calendar, and so forth, because I went through and put the various links to the various websites which document exactly how to use that calendar, our at-large calendar URL, which is there on the page. What I said was that you copy that URL and then follow the instructions for your calendar application for this. I'm thinking, what might be better? If we could probably record a video and show it to the and then have it on the wiki and have it as part of the part of this calendar page. It just takes a little bit of time to do, but immediately after Buenos Aires, that it should be a little bit more easier to do this task. And I think doing it this way would be better because I suspect doing it in front of the Buenos Aires, people there at the meeting, they already may be aware of this tool, but it's really for the wider at large, that are not coming to the meeting, and I think it will be more beneficial. So what do you think of that? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, unless you're not saying anything,
Sorry, Dave, it's Olivier. I didn't know you were asking for an answer from me. waiting and thinking, okay, I'm fine. That's fine, and it might be also something that some kind of part of the course that we would teach our ALSs when we have the at-large summit next year, since you're speaking about the wider community. I wonder whether you and everyone on the Technology Task Force could think of maybe subsets of subscriptions for the Google Calendar. So if you're an ALAC member, for example, you'd have one type of thing, which is all the ALAC meetings. If you're a LACRALO member, you have one type of subscription, which would be all the LACRALO-related meetings that would be beamed to your phone. So if you're both a LACRALO and an ALAC member, so you're an ALAC member from LACRALO, then you subscribe to the ALAC calendar and the LACRALO calendar. I don't know how modular this can be and how complicated this can get. It's just I'm looking at the calendar as it is now, as we have, at large, we have the blue lines, and we have the things which are in brown.
or is in beige or something. You know, there's an enormous amount of an enormous amount of entries here, and if someone who is not going to the ICANN meeting is subscribed to the calendar, then they have all of the list of the meetings that are taking place at the ICANN meeting. If they're based somewhere else in the world and these are running throughout the night, they would probably have to turn off their notifications altogether. It would be more of a nuisance than anything else to have something every half an hour beeping away. So maybe then there could be one which is just, say, meetings, you know, ICANN face-to-face meetings calendars, etc. It's just all part of being able to scale up whilst at the same time having everything properly, you know, the P's and Q's and things being properly dotted and orderly.
Mm.
Do I make sense?
This is Dave. It makes sense. Okay, well, it's also a lot to think of, but okay, I think I have some ideas already on that. This is Dave. So right now on the at-large calendar, well, there are two calendars, just for reference here. There's the at-large calendar, which has all the events on the ELAC and at-large. So it includes all of the WILO meetings as well as the ELAC and the working group meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's something called the external events calendar, which keeps track of, well, not ICANN at-large organized events, but external events that perhaps there's an at-large component or a person from at-large that may be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they have the two different colors. With regards to having it segmented, well, there are pros and cons of that. There's always a danger that, you know, that you would segment something that is important for one person, but then they don't get that notification. So part of my thinking is always that maybe I will investigate. The problem is it will vary with each technology platform. Google Calendar might implement it one way, but iOS and, you know, Yahoo Calendar and Microsoft Outlook would probably implement it in other ways. But perhaps from Google Calendar side, we could probably see whether maybe events can be tagged, like RALO, ELAC, working group, that type of thing, and therefore we can then, and therefore you can customize the notifications based on that label. I will investigate more on that. So I have to double check whether that feature is there in Google Calendar, and therefore that could be a way forward. I don't want to have multiple calendar fields because then I think that just makes it a little bit too confusing, and I think it then creates a huge staff overhead to put events on one calendar and then not put it on another calendar. When you have multiple calendars, then that comes a little bit more, a lot more work. But that's my mm-hmm. thinking how it should be approached, and I'll investigate that approach. With regards to having this information presented at the summit, I think actually that's a great idea. That's something to file away for the discussions after Buenos Aires. Because I think, yes, I agree that having this type of information presented during the summit would be actually, I think, quite useful. And we could get immediate feedback from persons and hopefully solve, their challenges in getting more involved in at-large. Okay, well, I thought this would be a short item, but I'm glad to see some feedback and discussion on it, so that's good. Let me move on to the next agenda item. The said repository of videos and pictures, we are using copy.com to achieve this. If you can click on that link in copy.com, and there are like two folders that are listed there, and anybody could now pick that and download the files to their computer to work on or to use. Glenn is the one that has most of all of this content from all of his independent pictures that he's been taking when he was attending the previous ICANN public meetings. So he's the one to really upload all of this content to this section. So, So I would say that, like I said, I think this is working out well. You know, I've uploaded things like 2 gigabyte single files, and anyone is able to download such a large file. So it's working very well. Okay, I'm not seeing anybody raise any comments, so we can move ahead on to the next agenda item, the at-large social media strategy. Again, right now, the at-large staff is forwarding all of the information from ALAC announced to the social media blog post. And it's actually getting traction, and that's some being reshared and or liked on Facebook, mostly on Facebook. In terms of the number of likes and reshares. I'm just noting that, you know, one of the updates to the Confluence, one of the plugins there is, I think, of importance, and because it's called, if you look at the link for Refine Wiki, it really does make turn the Confluence into a proper blog, so to speak, and it has built-in sharing plugins, buttons for sharing to even Google Plus and so forth. So I would like to see, you know, again, after the Benazaris meeting, to see whether this plugin could be installed and tested on the at-large wiki, and see how this could be used for social media. I think the challenge again is coming back down to the persons that could use to submit content to it. And this is not really a technology issue, but more of a, well, who should do it, who has the time to do it, and so forth. I think that's a discussion still to be had and a solution to be found. Part of my thinking is that it really should be the really secretariat should be involved, and each VLO would post something at least once a month, for example, regarding their VLO activities, and that way, you know, all the other VLOs and the rest of at-large is aware of what's happening within their VLO. That's one way. Okay, so not seeing anyone raising hands here. Let me move on. The evaluation of machine translation website tools. Okay, well, I've created 2 links here, and I hope the links work. And these are the various... I tried to basically integrate translation to web translation tools from Microsoft and Google into 2 links for it. So when you click on the link, it should open up a tab showing the translation into Spanish. So you can then do side-by-side comparisons. I've noticed that surprisingly, the Google Translate tool gives problem with the embedded Google Calendar, whereas the Microsoft translation tool handles it quite well, and it doesn't break the page. So, and from a not looking at the linguistic accuracy, the Microsoft tool appears to work better with the at-large website in terms of preserving how the look and feel of the website without breaking the website. I don't know if anybody else is seeing that when they open it, these 2 pages. And this is one of the action items that was passed to you to help evaluate the machine translation tools. Do you have any thoughts or feedback on this matter? Oh, I see. You said he's reading both. Okay. And in the group chat. This is Dave again. Just to note also that I noticed that the Microsoft tool seems to be more supported among the various ACs and SOs. So what could be another plus for the Microsoft tool from a standpoint of, well, if ICANN's IT staff is already implementing this, it might make more sense to have to use the Microsoft tool simply because there'll be one tool to support in common with all of the ICANN IT staff. Olivier, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, Dave. It's Olivier Sapin-Avalon speaking. Just to mention, it's very interesting to be able to take one page and see the difference between the two. I note that the translation is vastly different, and I thought originally it would be just a little bit different, but it's vastly different. Very. Lo que es de alcance. And on the other side is que es las large. So it's interesting to see the big difference on there. What we might do is to really try and get our RALOs to work on this rather than just the technology task force. And I think the RALOs that are most afflicted with this are LAC RALO and AF RALO, since they're working in the two languages. And I have a feeling, because I was looking at some translation into French, from English to French, I have a feeling that it might be the Microsoft tool is better in translating to Spanish, and the Google tool is better to translate in French, mm-hmm. As far as the quality of the translation is concerned. So that's why I find it a bit, so it might be that just one tool is not the best. I'm testing them out in French at the moment.
Yes,
and it doesn't work.
Well, at least this is Dave. Weird. So one of the neat things is that now with these two links now, we can then do the side-by-side testing now, as opposed to trying to figure it out, cut and paste and all that kind of stuff. So
that's right.
You have two
exactly.
tabs now, and you can, in fact, switch between the languages at the very top now. And so you can switch from English to French or whatever language, actually, and then do it at the same side on the Microsoft or the Google side, and do a side-by-side comparison. You're right. It you do see a lot of differences between the translations. So it's really it really comes down to the language accuracy. And I think you're right. So we could probably, as an action item, use these two links to ask persons to actually give their impressions as to which is better.
Because that
was one thing I was trying to figure out how to do. Because to say, well, could you go to this website and try to do it, people would have a tendency not to do it because there's so much work involved. But now it's a little bit more simpler now with those two links you can play around with it. Look at two pages side by side now and so forth and do a comparison. So I think that will be the action item to post the RALOs and ask for feedback as to which one is better. And we probably get a much more bigger sample of responses and a better idea of how the linguistic, I don't know if the linguistic quality is the right word, but the translation quality of the machine translation tools.
Dave, quick question, and it's Olivier again.
Yep.
Yes, thank you, Dave. It's Olivier Capanovlon speaking. Are you going to ask the RALOs only for the translation to Spanish and to French, or would you also ask them for other UN languages if some RALOs have people that speak other UN languages, for example, into Russian?
Well, I do know that, well, this is Dave again. I do know that, yes, there are other languages out there. We can, and thanks to this survey, we do. I have a good idea of which ELSs are the ones that actually speak, are using Russian as their primary language or secondary language. So perhaps I could make, you know, some emails directed to them as well could be done. And what I can then do is change and update the URLs so that it is easy for them to, so it's English to Russian, for example, or English to Arabic, for example, when I send the links. Because I can change the links easily there. If you look at the URL, how it's encoded, you just need to change the two characters for whatever. So if I wanted to change it to French, for example, I replaced the ampersand TL to FR. Yeah. And that should do it.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. So, you know, I can submit the links to say, hey, test it in this language, the machine translation in this language, and give me feedback. So we can make this an action item now. Now that it's, like I said, it's now easy to actually do, you know, side by side and so forth. Okay, so I'll make that an action item. Technology task force to, let me see if I can word the action item properly. Technology task force to contact Reloads for feedback on machine translation tools for the at-large website. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Yes. I mentioned this in the agenda. I should mention that ICANN's IT staff has set up a demo translation list for the Lacroix to translate emails from English to Spanish and Spanish back to English. So it's underway. Unfortunately, I don't think it's not quite there yet, unfortunately. I was hoping that it would have been something to demonstrate it in Buenos Aires, but I think we still need to do more testing. Juan Rojas is also doing testing on that list. I don't know if he has any insights or opinions on that point.
Hello, everyone. This is Silvia Vivanco.
Oh, hello. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi.
I wasn't aware that you were on the...
Hi.
Well, the next...
The next call is coming up. Yes, it's the top of the hour. One more minute left.
On the same channel at top of the hour, so... Yeah. You have
to all right. Well, in that case, we do need to... We can close this off because we've reached any other business, so...
I'm sorry. I am early for the next call.
Not a problem. Actually, we should be ending right now, in fact.
Okay.
So, okay. I think we can just quickly adjourn this call. I'd like to thank everyone, and I look forward to hearing your feedback on the mailing list and on the wiki. This call is now adjourned.